It's beginning to rain. The former and the latter rain have begun. Hallelujah. The outpouring has come. Not a trickle, not a stream, not a river, but a flood. Flood stage is here. Hallelujah. A love flood. A healing flood. A joy flood. Great and dynamic in its working. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles with me, please, to Mark's Gospel. And let's look in the 5th chapter. Now, we've been talking about, during this meeting, believing the love. Having faith in the love of God. Having faith in God who is love. Having faith in love who is God. Let me phrase it just a tad different this morning. You haven't heard this one yet. Learn to trust His love. Because, you know, people... There are some people that have made a career out of lying on God. Learn to trust His love. Verse 1, Mark chapter 5. They came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. One devil. A man with an unclean spirit. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now, let me make a comment on this. The man cried night and day. Supernatural noises, louder than human beings can make. Creating the illusion that he was some kind of supernatural man who didn't need to sleep. And he lived among the tombs. And just to make it plain, he just scared the daylights out of everybody. Now, Follow the text now very carefully. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Now get the timeline correct. Jesus said, come out of the man. You unclean spit. and the man then, not before, then the man ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice. Jesus attacked that unclean spirit the moment he saw him. Now, we're working on something here, all right? The moment he saw him, he attacked that unclean spirit and he ran towards him and fell down in front of him and worshiped him. You ready for this? Not the man, that spirit. That spirit had to do that. He couldn't just stand back there. He had to do that. He was in the presence of the Most High God, and he knew it. Don't preach me happy, glory. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. And Jesus said, "What's your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, don't turn there, but in the book of Ephesians, you have the rank and file of Satan's kingdom and chain of command, starting from the least, going through to the highest. Principalities and powers. That's the many. Rulers of the darkness of this world. That was the unclean spirit that possessed this man. And under the command of that spirit, all of these principalities and powers were ruling that whole region. Many, 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 many of them. And they controlled that whole area through that one man and the illusion that he was some sort of supernatural man. Now, we are many, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. He besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000. Now, he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, Legion can stand from 3,000 to 6,000. But don't take that as a hard and fast number either. And it sure didn't indicate that there was 2,000 devils. It didn't say there's 2,000 devils. It said there's 2,000 pigs. But I want to show you something that's very important to know. And it's a fact worth remembering. One human being housed, one human being had the spiritual capacity to house what more than 2,000 pigs couldn't stand. One man. That's the kind of spiritual capacity the human has, the human man, the human being. Well, think about it. When you got born again, hallelujah, you and I have the spiritual capacity to contain all the fullness of God. We read that last night in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. I'm telling you, you ought to get up in the morning, you're shouting happy, screaming and hollering at the top of your voice every day. Whew. Stand there in front of the mirror and smile big and say, God's in that man right there. God's in that woman like that. Hallelujah. Put your hands back on yourself again. And become God inside-minded. Say, He's in me. Right now. And I'm so glad. Now notice about this. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. They come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, not devils, one devil. He that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Hallelujah. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Now that's sad, isn't it? But you can see the effect. One demon-possessed man had on that whole region. And when he was come into the ship, they prayed him to leave, so he got in the boat and left. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. And here's what I wanted you to see this morning, what God wants you to see. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And of course, you know, he did what Jesus told him to do. He preached the compassion of God. He preached the compassion of God. Amen. Well, what else would you do when you call a man to preach and you and you deliver him from the devil and you got a fear problem in this whole area? What else would you do but anoint this man to preach compassion? Hallelujah. Because perfected, growing, developing love casteth out fear. Hallelujah. I mean, he set this man in a ministry that would destroy fear everywhere it went. And it worked. It worked. Praise God. Because Jesus came back to that area and it was totally different. They weren't begging him to leave anymore. Amen. Now then, go back with me now to the 9th chapter of Matthew. Now I want to take these in this order. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. compassion moved him. Now, for some reason, when people hear the word compassion, there's just the general idea of emotion, an emotion of some kind. Many times that emotion is present, but compassion is not an emotion. Compassion is not a feeling. Compassion is a person. We're talking about God, who is love and filled with compassion. Praise God. Just turn with me to the 89th Psalm. Or excuse me, the 86th Psalm. Psalm 86. And it's not the only verse that says this. We just don't have time to look them all up. Psalm 86, verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous, say plenteous, in mercy. And truth. Plenty of mercy. Plenty of mercy. Full of compassion. I said full of compassion. God invented compassion. He is compassion. He invented mercy. Without Him there would be no mercy. Oh, I'm telling you people, the devil don't know mercy. He has none. He doesn't have any mercy. He is death. He is fear. He doesn't have fear. He is fear. He doesn't have death. He is death. He is doomed forever.
My name is Lucinda Griffith. I'm actually from Bell, Missouri. I had been experiencing symptoms for probably 12 to 13 years. It was just like an attack. Okay, bathroom right now. If you don't go to the bathroom right now, you might not make it. So I thought I was having an appendicitis attack, but I kept having to go to the bathroom and kept go to the bathroom and go to the bathroom over and over. And it took a few years before the doctors pinpointed what it was. And then we were on the road one day, and we came home, and I'm like, you're going to have to take me to the emergency room. It's hurting really bad. And I went to the emergency room, and they did a colonoscopy and said, oh, well, you have Crohn's. And I'm like, what is Crohn's? I had no idea. Because I'd heard of IBS and all the other things. Well, they said it was an inflammation of your intestines, and that it caused problems with you being able to go on a regular basis, or that you would go all the time. They gave me a medicine, and I just recently found out from my DOT doctor that that medicine that they give you for it is actually kind of toxic. It's a medicine that you have to take like 9 pills a day, and it's supposed to calm down the inflammation. Is all I know about it. And the doctor said, you know, you'll have to just play with it and see what works best for you. I can't say this amount or this amount. The normal dose is 9 a day, 3 after every meal. And I'm like, okay. It's debilitating because you don't know, you know, when you need to go. There's no sign, symptom. It will just attack you. And I'd been believing, you know, I can't live my life not knowing when I can go to the bathroom. And when you're out in the middle of nowhere, being an over-the-road driver, you could be, well, especially in Canada, there aren't rest areas in Canada. So I had been believing that this had to be healed, that Jesus already did it. And we both came expecting to see things happen in our lives when we came last year. When I went down and had hands laid on me, I didn't notice anything different. I just believed that I received, and within a few months, I started noticing that I was getting constipated. And I said, well, I'll reduce my medicine, because the doctor did say play with it, I'll reduce my medicine. Well, being an over-the-road driver and independent contractors, we didn't have any insurance. Well, this past year, we finally got insurance, and I said, well, I'm going to go to the doctor and have it checked, because it's not been checked in probably 7 years. And I scheduled the testing and went to the doctor in June. And my daughter went with me, and when the doctor came out after the testing, because they do another colonoscopy, he said to me, I must have misdiagnosed you, because there is no sign that you ever had Crohn's. And I knew from the doctor's statement that he wouldn't believe what I had to say anyway, so I just looked at him and smiled. And when my daughter and I were walking out, I'm like, yes, it's gone. I'm healed. There's no sign that it ever existed. So that was just such a blessing. It was a gradual thing. Some people, things happen instantaneously. And to me, it was just something that as I went, I was healed. And God just took it away. And I haven't had any medicine for it since last June. So I give all the glory to God, because I didn't even know what it was. I just knew it was a big hindrance in my life and that it had to go.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.